الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة الحج اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له ان الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له وان يسلبهم الذباب شيئا لا يستنقذوه منه ضعف الطالب والمطلوب ما قدر الله حق قدره ان الله لقوي عزيز الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس إن الله سميع بصير يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم وإلى الله ترجع الأمور يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء على الناس فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وتقبل منا فانك خير المتقبلين امين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and all thanks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whose help we are able to start the fourth part of the selected course of the study of Quran which we are discussing in these sessions. The first lesson of this fourth part consists of the last section, which comprises of six ayat of Surah Al-Hajj. These six ayat with which the Surah Al-Hajj is ending is another example of the most comprehensive places in the Quran. Actually, it should have been included in the first part, because in the first part of this selected course we have those lessons in which all the four prerequisites of salvation are given. Surah Al-Asr, Ayat al-Bir, second section of Surah Al-Luqman, then Ayat 30 to 36, seven Ayat of Surah Al-Hamim al-Sajdah. This lesson also actually is most comprehensive, but I have placed it in the beginning of this fourth part, just as you must have noted that I placed the fourth lesson of the first part in the end of the second part. Why? Because in the second part of this selected course of study, we went into details about Iman. So detailed discussions about Iman, when we were engaged in it, then again a comprehensive lesson. So that we don't lose sight of that comprehensive view of our duties as a Muslim. again we saw that in the third part, we went to the details of al-amal salih. Al-amal salih at individual level. Al-amal salih at the level of family. Al-amal salih at the level of Muslim society. Al-amal salih at the level of Islamic State. Now these are very detailed discussions. Now again, before proceeding ahead, we have this lesson which is very comprehensive. Again, a very comprehensive view of what Islam is and what it demands of us. What are our basic duties, inevitable duties, as a Muslim, as a mu'min. So again we shall have in these six ayat that comprehensive view. In one way, this lesson is the most unique in the whole of Quran. Because here, the call of Quran, the da'watul Quran, it has been divided in two parts. First, the general call to the whole of humanity. That is, the call for iman. Secondly, the special call for action. That call is only to those who profess to believe. If somebody doesn't believe in Allah, you can't ask him, you must pray. You must observe this thing, it is haram. This is halal. What to him? He doesn't believe in Allah. He doesn't believe in Quran. He doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now talking to him about halal and haram, this is actually without any logic. So we can divide the call of Quran or Islam into two parts. The general call, the da'watul aam, to the whole of humanity. Here we shall see in four ayat that general call of Quran has been summarized. And that is why the first ayat beginning, Ya ayyuhan nas. And that call we shall see is the call to faith. Have faith in Allah. And don't commit any shirk with Him. Don't associate anything or anybody with Him. And believe in the institution of prophethood. Then you must have the faith in resurrection and returning to Allah and of facing the grand accountability of the Day of Judgment. So this call to iman, call to faith, is the general call of the Quran to the whole of humanity. That is why it is addressed with the wording, Ya ayyuhan nas. Then in the last two ayat we find, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. Now this is the call to those who say they believe, who profess that they have faith in Allah, faith in Muhammad, faith in Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believe in resurrection, they believe in the hereafter. So that is the call to action. That is why we shall find imperatives. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kunu wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum waf'alu al-khayra wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadih. اقیم الصلاۃ واتو زکات واتصموا باللہ. Eight imperatives in two ayat. While in the first four ayat, no imperative whatsoever. It's a narration. These are the facts. Just as we have in the first section of Surah At-Taghabun. In seven ayat, there was narration of the basic articles of faith. Existence of Allah, His attributes, His unity, the institution of prophethood, then the Day of Judgment. And then came the ayah, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. In the same way here you find four ayat. They are a narrative, simple narrative. But in the last two ayat, imperative after imperative, imperative after imperative. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who profess to believe, irka'u, wasjudu, wa'budu rabbakum, wa'falu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun, wa'jahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi. And then in the end, fa'aminu, fa'aqimu salata, wa'atu zakata, wa'atasimu billah. So here we find, you know, the most brief summary, in nutshell, what Quran calls to. First of all, what Quran calls all of humanity to. And secondly, what Quran demands or Allah demands from those who profess to believe. Also here, in these six ayats, we have the examples, very beautiful examples, of the style of the Quran. I told you in the very beginning, in my first lecture or the second, there is a khutbah. And in a khutbah we find that the beginning of the khutbah and the end of the khutbah, that is most important, most profound. In the same way we shall find here the most profound ayat with which the Surah Al-Mubarakah, Surah Al-Hajj is ending. Then you know the sound effect. Just listen. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. The words having the same sound, having the same sound effect coming. So that rhythm that is there very prominent in these ayat also. And then the most important, the تَعْبِيرُ الْخَاسِ, the particular type of shirk that people of Makkah or people of Arabia were committing. Starting from that, a generalized essence of shirk. What is shirk? What is shirk essentially? So that universal guidance for all time to come. And in only three words, رَوْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, a whole philosophy which we shall inshallah discuss today. So, with these preliminary comments, let us start our study, word by word. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, O mankind. Although the words are general, but we know that who were being addressed first of all were the people of Arabian Peninsula, and more particularly, the people of Makkah. Ya ayyuhan nas, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. A parable is being related, or a similitude is struck. So listen, fa, and fa means so. So listen attentively, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. I have added the word attentively, bhai. In Arabic, سَمِعَ يَسْمَعُ means listening, hearing. اِسْتَمَعَ يَسْمَعُ means listening with attention, attentively, focusing the attention. That is why the same word appears in that ayah, إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. When Quran is being recited, listen to it most attentively and keep quiet. Don't speak. Don't talk. Whole of your attention should be focused on listening to the Quran. The same word. إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. The same word appears here, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. O people, O mankind, a parable is being struck, is related. So listen to it attentively. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Inna, the word for emphasis, surely, indeed, without any doubt, inna alladhina tad'una min dunillah, verily, surely, indeed, those imaginary deities or gods or goddesses whom you call besides Allah, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَا مِجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. They will not be able to create even a fly, although they might join together, they might combine all their strengths, all of them, they will not be able to create even a fly. وَلَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا شَيْئًا. And what to speak of creating a fly, If a fly snatches something away from them, وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الزُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ They cannot retrieve it from them, from it. They are so powerless, so helpless. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ Very weak and fragile is the seeker as well as the sought. I will explain it shortly, inshallah. Now, this ayah is particularly referring to the idol worship that was prevalent among the mushrikeen of Makkah. There were, as you must have heard, 360 idols placed in Haram, which was built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi as-salam for Tawheed. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ But it had become the biggest center of idol worship. Now what is this idol worship? Essentially, philosophically, these idols were created or manufactured or carved. And they were carved either out of stone or of wood. But actually what was thought? That they are symbols and signs of some invisible deities, some gods and goddesses, imaginary, in whom they believed. But how to concentrate the attention when worshipping them? How to concentrate our and focus our attention towards them? As Iqbal says very beautifully, khugare paikare mehsoos thi insaan ki nazar. Man wanted to have something visible before him, something whom he can see so that he can concentrate his attention on that object. And through that object, actually, who was to be worshipped was not this idol of stone or of wood, but the deity, the invisible god or goddess, for whom this idol was created as a symbol. This is the beginning of idolatry, the worshipping of idols. The people of Nuh, they had idols, Wad, Yahus, Nasr. And it is when all the Mufassirin agree on it, it's the consensus, that these were very pious people who had died, just as we have the idea of Awliya Allah. They were the Awliya Allah of the past. They wanted to show reverence to them. But how to show reverence to those Awliya Allah who have passed, who have gone? So just carve out an idol so that you can have some spiritual connection with the spirits and souls of those Awliya Allah through this idol, by focusing your attention on this idol. This has become the object of worship only, not in itself, but because it is the object of our concentration of attention for those who have passed away, who are in the spiritual world. So this is the beginning of idol worship. And this has been given in detail by Dr. Radhakrishnan. He was one of the biggest philosophers of this century. And it goes to the credit of Indians that they raised him to the level of status of the President of India, a man of letters, a philosopher. These two philosophers were contemporaries, Bertrand Russell and Radhakrishnan. One was the idealist, the other was the realist. Bertrand Russell the atheist, and Radhakrishnan the spiritualist. And he actually revived Indian philosophy. He wrote a book, two very big voluminous books, two volumes, Indian philosophy. So this is actually the beginning of idol worship. Let me give you an example from the Quran. When Bani Israel came out from Egypt with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we call Exodus, They found in the Sinai Peninsula there were some people who were worshipping idols. So Bani Israel requested Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, build some idols for us also, so that we can concentrate our attention. Khugare paykare mahsoos thi insa ki nazar, manta phir koi andhe se khuda ko kyun kar. How can we worship a God who is unseen, invisible? How can we concentrate our attention? How can we focus our whole attention? So please build for us also an idol. This is ayah number 138 of Surah Al-A'raf. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتَوْا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. Now this is عَقْف, اعتكاف. اعتكاف, what is the spirit of اعتكاف? To focus your attention. يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامِهِمْ. They passed by some people who used to meditate before the idols, sitting before the idols. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ اجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةٌ. They requested, oh Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, for us also make an idol, an invisible, a tangible object of worship, just as they have the idols. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. The answer of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was, you are a people ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with tawheed. He has rescued you from the bondage of slavery of Ali Fir'aun through me. And now you are asking me to build some idols for you. But I only quoted this ayah, that this was one of the things people generally, they felt there should be some object before us when we are worshipping. Although we are worshipping the gods and goddesses who are in the unseen, invisible. They are in another world. But we must have some object before us for meditation. But as the time passes, people then think that these idols in themselves are the object of worship. They are the gods and goddesses. They just forget that they were the symbols only. They begin to think that these very things made of stone or wood, they are the gods and goddesses. They in themselves, they have some divinity in them. Now to shake people, to review their ideas and review their beliefs, this ayah has been revealed. Oh, you people who are worshipping these idols, you never thought. They can never speak. You have carved them just like yourselves. They have two hands, but they can never move their hands. You have carved two legs for them also, but they can never walk with these legs. You have carved for them eyes, but they can't see with these eyes. And what to speak of creating anything? The things that you place before them, the niyaz, nazro niyaz, which is being presented before the idols, the halwa manda, when there are flies over them, even a human being, a simple human being, would never like that on his meals there should be flies. But these are so helpless, they can't drive away even the flies. But you are worshipping them. You are invoking them for help. Do you never think what you are doing? Ya ayyuhanna zoreba masalun fastami ula. Just rethink what you are doing. Just reassess what you are believing in. Zoreba masalun fastami ula. Inna al-lazira tad'una min dhunillahi lan yakhluqu zubaban wala bijtama ula. Wa in yasrubhumu zubabu shayyan la yasfantizuhu min. Now let me give you another example of this. What the Quran is trying by words here in this ayah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did by action. It has been mentioned in more than one surah of the Quran. That what he did. There was some occasion on which all the people used to go out from the town, from the city, for the worship of the stars. And the town used to be absolutely without any person. At that night, Hazrat Ibrahim, anyhow, he said, I am not going to go with you. I am not feeling well. When all the people went out, now he entered that temple of theirs where there were idols. He struck them, broke them, smashed them all except one, the biggest one. The instrument with which he had struck and smashed all them, he placed that instrument at that biggest idol's shoulder. Now you can just imagine what would have happened there when the people returned. Oh, who has done this to our idols, our gods? Who is he? The biggest criminal. Then they remembered, yes, there's a young man. He used to speak ill of these idols. But we never took him seriously. We thought that he's a young man just talking lightly. We never took him seriously. Probably he has done it. Then he was called. Now let me quote the ayat 62 to 68 of Surah Al-Anbiya. قَالُوا أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِعَالِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. They asked him, O Ibrahim, have you done this thing to our gods? قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتَقُونَ. Ibrahim said, alayhi salatu wassalam, this biggest one must have done it. He is standing safe and sound. All the others are broken and smashed. Then you know that instrument is also discussed. Circumstantial evidence proves that he has done it. Why don't you ask them? Who has done it? Why are you asking me? Now this is the most important ayah of the Quran. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. For a moment, they turned to their hearts and they thought, إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They had that realization, actually, we are wrong. This fellow, this young man, what he is saying is true. We worship these who can't speak. We worship them who couldn't defend themselves. We think that they can help us. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. For a moment, actually, the truth dawned on them. We realized that actually we are doing something wrong. And whatever this person Ibrahim is saying is 100% correct. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. But then they were overturned on their faces. They had to stick to their creed. They had to defend their faith. And he said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هُولَىٰ يَنْتَقُونَ. O Ibrahim, you know, they can't speak. How can we ask them? Who did this to them? قَالَ فَتَعْبُدُونَ مَنْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ أُفٍّ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Then Ibrahim, he struck the biggest blow, strongest blow on their faith and belief. Do you worship? Do you take them as your gods and goddesses? As your saviors and protectors? Your sustainers and your providers? Who can neither do you any good nor any harm. Uffin lakum. Woe to you and to those whom you are worshipping. Afala taqilun. Don't you use your intellect, your reasoning, what you are doing? Qalu harriqu wanfuru alihatakum in kuntum fa'ilin. Now then said, okay, just burn this man who has done this to our idols, to our gods. Now this is an example. Ibrahim, at least for a moment, he succeeded in persuading those people to rethink, to see what folly they are committing. The same is the subject here. It's in words here, and there it was in action and deed. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ
ان الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولن يجتمعوا له لئن يسلبهم الذباب شيئا لا يستنقذوه منه ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. Now these three words, how fragile, how weak is the seeker as well as the sought. This is a complex, seeker and sought. You are seeking something, something is sought by you. Either it is something, or you are seeking the pleasure of someone. This is a complex, a compound, a talib wal matloob. And Quran is saying here, if the matloob is so weak, how weak is the talib? Who is worshipped is so weak. What about the worshipper? If those who are worshipped are so helpless, what do you think about the worshipper? وَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. And now this essence of shirk, I want to go into some detail, what does it mean? You must have heard Allama Iqbal's philosophy. It has been termed the philosophy of self. فَلْسَفَةِ الْخُدِي. Although it has become sort of a dilemma, what it is? فُدْ تَرِيشَ خَابِبًا أَسْكَثْرَةِ تَعْبِيرْهَا. People have been interpreting that philosophy of self, of Allama Iqbal, in different ways. But I want to refer here Dr. Rafiuddin. He was the director of Iqbal Academy for a long time, till such time that Iqbal Academy was situated in Karachi, in Pakistan. And he has written a book, and that was the thesis of his doctorate, Ideology of the Future. Although very few people know this book, it's quite difficult to read. Philosophical approach, philosophical language. But as far as I think, he has interpreted and explained the philosophy of self of Allama Iqbal in the best of the ways. And that philosophy actually is compatible with the basic philosophy of Quran. As I told you, Allama Iqbal himself said that my source is the ayah, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. The source of his inspiration and thought was Quran, basically. So here let me give you that philosophy. Number one, all who appear to be human beings are not really human beings. Most of them are animals in the shape of humans. All that glitters is not gold. All who appear to be human beings are not really human beings. They are like animals, rather worse. Now this is exactly the translation of the verse of the Quran. This is again from Surah Al-A'raf. لَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. We have created the fuel for Jahannam in the form of many apparently human beings and the jinns. لَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ. No difficult word. It's very simple. These appear to be human beings. They have hearts, but they don't ponder and don't think with these hearts. They have eyes, but they don't see with these eyes. They see like the seeing of animals. A dog can also see a car is coming and he has to save himself. It has to save itself. If you have also seen the car coming and you are saving yourself, no difference. The seeing of man should be somewhat else. See something, ponder over it. Who created it? What does it mean? What's the beginning and what's the end of it? فَاتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Not only seeing. دِيدًا دِغَرَامُوس سُنِيدًا دِغَرَامُوس. لَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears but they don't listen with them. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like cattle, animals. Rather worse. Why? Because the cattle were created at a certain level. They can't go beyond. But human beings were created. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We breathed from our own spirit into him. فَإِذَا صَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَوْ لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And if a human being also behaves just as an animal, he is just an animal. And this is the words of the Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَنْعَامُ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. And that is why Quran says in that very surah, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. When he goes down, he is lower than the lowest, lower than the animals. So this subject appears in the Quran many a times. All humans are not human. Now, number two. Then who is a human being? Real human being. A real human being is only a person who has consciously fixed an idol for him. Ideal. I have to do this. That's my ideal. That's my goal in life. He lives for that ideal. He works for that ideal. He gives sacrifices for that ideal. And he is ready to die for the ideal. He must have some ideal in life. This is the basic qualification of human being. Otherwise, he is living for the sake of living. Just like an animal. Animal also preserves itself. Preservation of the self, preservation of the species. It's common between us and the animals. And I used to say that such people who have no ideal in their life, no higher goal, actually they are not passing their lives. The life is passing them. Wo zindagi basar nahi kar rahe, zindagi unhe basar kar rahi. They are living only due to the instinct of living and nothing else. Now the search for ideal in human beings is universal. And this is actually the philosophy that Dr. Rafiuddin has discussed at length in his book. Modern psychology tells us that the basic instincts in man, the most basic preservation of the self, preservation of the species. But we find there are people, there have been people who sacrifice their lives for some ideology, for some cause. What does it mean? There is in man some urge which is more potent than the preservation of the self. Just think of the Japanese who used to commit harakiri, killing themselves with their own knives. Just thrusting open their own abdomen. What for? The Japanese who used to sit in the bombs, navigate them, and take them to the chimneys, to the ships, and they knew it. When the bombs will explode, what will happen to the ship is something to happen later on. First of all, their own bodies will be split into bits. Why are they doing so? What's the urge? The urge of nationalism. The urge. Our nation, our country should be strong. This is the urge. Just think about the communists who brought about the communist revolution in Russia. People facing firing squads. What for? Why don't apologize and save your lives? No. We are ready to lay down our lives. What for? For an ideology. We believe in communism. We believe that the only just social order is that of communism. We want to establish it. We want to overthrow this system of exploitation. This is wrong. This is tyranny. This is exploitation. This is repression. This is injustice. And we want to do away with it. We are ready to lay down our lives, our families. Whole of the villages being massacred like anything. It so happened in Syria. Hama, the city of Al-Ikhwan, smashed like anything. People are radically down their lives. What is happening in Egypt? Why are the youth of Jamaa Islamia keeping the gallows? Going to the gallows? Why? Some higher ideal in life. So this urge for an ideal is the most potent urge in human being. There is a very beautiful set of couplets in Urdu. Ek tasavvur ke husn mubham par sari hasti lutai jati hai. Zindagi karke arzu ke baad kaise saanson mein dhali jati hai. If there is no ideal in life, you are like a human vegetable and nothing else. An animal just in the shape of human being. If you have no ideal in life, no higher goal to pursue. This is the basic philosophy. The philosophy of ideals. The urge for ideal. Every human being must have some ideal of his. To live for it, to die for it. To go hungry for it. To risk all the dangers for it. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. O Muslims, be ready. You'll have to face all these hardships. What for? For Allah. If He is your ideal, He is the goal. To please Him has become the goal in life. Then you should be ready. And as I told you, but to speak of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people have been sacrificing their lives and sacrificing everything that belonged to them, all their belongings, for the sake of some fake ideologies, some false ideologies. But why did they adopt those false ideologies? Because they couldn't rise sufficiently high intellectually to reach the real goal, the real ideal. To have the highest goal in life. And let me now explain this point. The lowest form of ideal for a human being is his own self. To gather wealth, to get name or fame, to get to some place of authority and power. This is also an ideal. People work hard, people go to jail. Why Bhutto went to jail? Why these demagogues, these leaders? Why you work so hard? Hitler, he must have worked very hard in the beginning of his career. To get to that position is not easy. But the ideal, the lowest ideal is your own self, your own baser self. At this level, if this is the ideal, a selfish man, a very low personality will be the result. He will have no scruples in life, no principle in life. Whatever is helpful to get to power, whatever is helpful to get money, to amass wealth, that is okay. No scruples, no principles in life. A bit higher ideal is nation and country. My nation, my country. Glory to my nation, glory to my country. This is definitely a higher level. A nationalist man, a nationalist person, he has some, he will do some sacrifice for the nation, for the country. He will be at a higher level, his personality, his character. people whom we see in the West, they are true to their nations, true to their countries. They never tell any lie to their own nation or their own country. All day they may tell the lie to the whole of the world. They may deceive the whole of the world, but they are not going to deceive their own nation. Because nation and country becomes the ideal for them. Then, a bit higher, humanism, love of humanity, work for humanity. Tolstoy, and so on, people like those. The humanism, humanist, love of human, mankind. This is definitely somewhat higher, definitely a higher person, higher personality, higher character will come out of it. But the final goal for human beings, the real goal, the real ideal, that is Allah. La matluba illa Allah. La maqsooda illa Allah. La mahbooba illa Allah. This is the essence of tawhid. Rise high up above all these lower forms of ideals and ideologies. Love Allah. Have Him as your ideal. Iqbal said, Yasda ba kamandavare himmate mardan. The simile of command is very important. If there is a very high wall and you want to climb it, as it was the case in the old days, every city had a facil, a rampart, and if you have to get into the city, you have to climb it. There used to be, I tried to find the word for command. I was not satisfied for any translation of command which I could find in the dictionary. Noose, or a scaling ladder, or a slip knot, these are the three words that I could get. But you have to throw that high up. The higher you can throw it, the higher it gets attached, the higher you can go. Although you will have to strive yourself, with your own muscular strength you will have to climb. But this, the height of this moon is the final limit to which you can go. You can't go further. If you want to go higher up, you have to throw it higher up. Then you will be able to climb to a higher level. So first of all, it's the intellectual level of a man which fixes his ideal. Don't fix your ideal lower down. The ideal should be the highest. Yasda ba kamandavare himmate mardana. Your command shouldn't stick to something lower than Allah. Manzile ma kibriyast. My destiny is Allah. Nothing less. Don't settle for anything less. Allah has created you at the highest level. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Don't have lower ideals. Selfishness or only nationalism or only humanism. No, no. Love Allah, adore Allah, worship Allah, live for Allah, die for Allah. Be ready to sacrifice everything for Allah. This is tawhid. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And if you have something else as your matlub, this is shirk. You might not be going down before some idol. You might not be worshipping any visible object. But if matlub, if wealth is your matlub, you are worshipping wealth. I quoted you the hadith, Tais Abdul Dinar wa Abdul Dirham. Woe to the person who is worshipping Dinar and Dirham. Nobody has ever worshipped in that sense. None has prostrated before, you know, Dinar or Dirham. Even the Hindus, they don't worship rupee or something of that sort, coins. They worship Lakshmi for the sake of wealth. But if you are worshipping the wealth directly, what's the difference between any person who is worshipping Lakshmi for the sake of wealth and you are worshipping wealth in itself? And what is the worship of wealth? When wealth becomes more dear to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the shirk. If your country becomes more dear to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is shirk. So this level of thought only Iqbal could go. His famous poem in Bang-e Dara, Is daur mein main aur hai, jaan aur hai, jam aur, saafi mein bina ki ravishe lutf o sitam aur, tehzeeb ke aazar mein tarashwaye sanam aur, muslim ne bhi taamir kiya apna haram aur, in taaza khudaon mein bada sabse watan hai, jo pehrehan uska hai, wo mazhab ka kafan. Country, my country above everything. Well, you have taken your country to be the God. This is the shirk. Your nation, my nation above all. Jai Hind, what is it? This earth becomes the goddess of God for you. La matluba illallah, la maqsooda illallah. At the level of matloob, there should be none with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pay to everybody his due. Inna li nafsika alayka haqqan. Even you have to give to your own body what is due to it. What is the haqq of it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctioned? You have to pay. Wale nafsika alayka haqqan, wale zawjika alayka haqqan. Fulfill the dues and rights of your life, your family, everything. But matloob, la matloob illallah. If there is someone else sitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this platform of matloob, it is shirk. So this is the essence of shirk. And this is actually the eternal teaching of Quran. You saw that in the beginning, the shirk of those people who were being addressed at that time. They were worshipping idols. Ya ayyuhal nas, duriba masalun fastami'u lahu. Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillahi lan yakhluqu zubaban wa lam yajtama'u lahu. Wa in yasluhumu zubabu shay'an la yastanqidhuhu minhu. Dharufa at-talibu wal matlub. How weak is the one whom you are worshipping? Just think about yourself. How weak are you yourself? You must worship the highest, the strongest, the all-powerful. And he is only one and he is Allah. Now for talib wal matloob. Now here let me mention one thing more. Some of the Sufia, they have rightfully said that even Jannah shouldn't be matloob with the mu'min. You must have heard about Rabia Basriya, rahimahullah, went for in some special state of ecstasy. She went out, she had a utensil having water in one hand, what should I call, mashal. There was some fire with the wood in the other hand. People asked, where are you going, Rabia? I want to burn Jannah with this fire. And I want to cool down Jahannam with this water. So that people should worship Allah for His sake only. Not for saving themselves from Jahannam and not for getting Jannah. They should worship Allah for His sake. So that is a mode of saying something. But it is absolutely correct. Yuriduna wajhahu. Matloob should be only Allah and nothing else. All the other things are dues and duties. Do your duty. Do your duty to your parents. Do your duty to your wife. Do your duty to your sons and daughters, your children. Do your duty to your nation, Do your duties towards your country. Duties are there. And in the end, with this discussion, you know, I want to say one thing more. It has been an academic mistake with some of the revivalist movements of our times in the world of Islam, that they have placed iqamatuddin, or making the deen of Allah supreme, as nasbul ayn, to try to establish the deen of Allah is a duty of a Muslim, it's farz, but not nasbul ayn. Nasbul ayn, idea, matloob, is only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 5 prayers a day are farz, but namaz is not the matloob. Prayer is not nasbul ayn. It's a duty. You have to do it. You have to perform it. Fasting of the month of Ramadan is a duty. It's a farz. You have to do it. In the same way, to strive and to exert your utmost to establish the deen of Allah, it's a duty. It's a farz. You have to do it. But none of them should be elevated to the level of nasbul ayn. Nasbul ayn, la matlooba illallah. Only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be the highest goal, the matloob, matloob asli, the real thing that is wanted, the final goal, the ideal. So this is actually the essence of tawheed. Rawfat talib wal matloob. Don't worship those who are themselves weak. What will be your faith when you will be worshipping those who are themselves weak? أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.